Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. My website is www.jbsba.com or jimblasingame.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. Whatever you want, if you like to type or if you don't like to type, we've got you covered. And when you get there, don't forget all the things you can do at my website. Thousands of archives, over 1,000 articles by me and our Brain Trust members, including those articles and archives by our good friend Steve Martin, who's with us right now. Steve is the author of Creative Approaches for Developing a Cost-Effective Organization. He is our guy who helps us understand the best ways to make sure that we put as much profit on the bottom line as is humanly possible. And he's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Steve, welcome back.
Jim, thank you. It's always great to be with you.
It's good to have you back. And Steve, one of the things that we were talking about last time that I think we want to continue today was talking about how to understand this concept of critical mass. When have you got critical mass? And it really does affect the decisions that we make. It's important for us to have an awareness of critical mass and the impact of it and the realities of critical mass and the realities of when we don't have critical mass and what we can do, sort of the limitations that are imposed on us if we don't have critical mass in any particular thing. Why don't you give us your definition of critical mass?
Critical mass, Jim, is the minimum amount of something that's needed to produce a given effect. In other words, the minimum size that your business would have to be to satisfy the customers. For example, an example of failure, working with a little daycare not too far from where we are here in Western New York, they ran on some hard times, so they started cutting staff back, which is a good thing for cost reduction, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about that. They cut their square footage back, which is a nice thing. But what happened is they got so close to critical mass that when they lost just a couple more customers, they were no longer able to sustain the level of service that the customers demanded, and they just fell off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get any more clients, and they couldn't sustain the business. So in terms of the critical mass for that organization, it was the size of the facility and the number of service people that they had on staff. And when they couldn't sustain that, clientele could no longer use them as a business. So they folded.
Well, there are two kinds of expenses, aren't there? The fixed expenses that are there, whether you're to the one power size or to the three power size, it's just the rent's the same, the utilities are the same basically, but then you've got marginal expenses, don't you? That are incremental.
Yes.
And if you go below, if your revenue goes below the ability to pay for those basic fixed expenses, then that's when you're at that critical mass crossroads.
That's when you're dropping below your break-even point, of course, which is your profitability level, minimum amount of revenue to sustain your fixed and variable expenses to that level. And, of course, that's an extremely important concept that you have to keep your eye on at all times.
Right. But in terms of critical mass, you're really more talking about capability than you are operating expenses, aren't you?
Yes, I am. They're two very parallel and interrelated concepts, but they're distinct enough that you should keep an eye on it.
Mm-hmm, exactly. All right. So, give us an example of what that might look like in a business.
Well, one of the things that a lot of companies have trouble with is advertising, for example. If you're a single service provider, you can't go out and run $1,000 ads every week in the local newspaper
right. To
bring in clients. So what does critical mass look like? It looks like maybe four or five of you and your associates in the same business cooperating to run a collaborative ad and chipping in only $200 a month to run that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you can build yourself right to a large enough virtual organization without actually having to be it yourself.
And that sometimes that brings up an interesting concept that a lot of people is foreign to a lot of people, and that is cooperating with your competition.
Absolutely.
Stand by, Steve. We're going to come back and talk some more about critical mass and the dynamics of that and how we all need to be paying a little more attention to it. Right after these messages, we'll be right back with our good friend Steve Martin. It's 22.
Got a black magic woman.
Back at 17 till.
Didn't take no chances.
Ann Wilson on vocals. That's her sister Nancy on guitar. That's the band Heart. Good music. Steve Martin is our guest. That's him on drums. And Steve is the author of Creative Approaches for Developing a Cost-Effective Organization. Steve, give us your website, please.
Jim, it's www.profitpro.us.
All right, U.S., not .com, .us. Steve, and by the way, they can find out, they can purchase your book there at the website, can't they?
Yes, they absolutely can. Plus, there's a ton of free information.
Good stuff, too, folks. It'll help you have the maximum opportunity to put more profit on the bottom line. Steve, we're talking about critical mass and how to understand when you have it. And we're talking about what some people call co-opetition, cooperating with your competition. For example, let's say that I know a little community in St. Louis called Italian Hill. Have you ever heard of that place?
Jim, I've eaten many a fine dinner on the Italian Hill.
Okay, you know what I'm talking about. You've eaten toasted ravioli on Italian Hill, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And God bless all our friends up there. But so what if there are a bunch of little Italian restaurants? I mean, they're like, I don't know how many dozens of Italian restaurants there are. Probably none of them can really afford their own advertising campaign. So what's wrong with them getting together and saying, why don't we, you know, band together and create a campaign that says, be sure to patronize the, you know, your favorite Italian restaurant in on Italian Hill.
It's a brilliant move, and I've seen it in some places. In fact, we occasionally get a flyer here at home, which will have the menus from maybe a dozen different restaurants in the area. And certainly something like the Italian Hill could do the same thing.
Well, of course, that's just a marketing idea, folks. There are other things. There's equipment. There are equipment issues, Steve, because sometimes we get the opportunity to, we have an opportunity or we know about an opportunity to bid on a project, to bid on a proposal. Someone sends us a request for proposal, and we look at it and we say, wait a minute, I don't have that equipment. And then you say to yourself, well, okay, it's just one project. It'll be over in 6 months. I don't need to go buy that equipment. You know, I don't need to borrow the money to buy that equipment for a six-month project. I don't have the credit. And you say to yourself, I don't have. And when this happens to you, folks, you need to say to yourself, I don't have the critical mass. I'm not big enough. I haven't gotten to the point where I can absorb that kind of a project without having to add extra expense. So what do we do, Steve?
Jim, you find somebody who has that equipment, someone in a related but perhaps not absolutely directly competing business. You tell them how much you need, how long what period of time you're going to need that equipment, and work out a deal with them to get the time on the machine or the service from them that you need to make yourself succeed.
Mm-hmm. And so you make them a vendor, so to speak, or you could make them a strategic alliance. You can make them even a partner.
You can approach it from an alliance or partnership basis, but you do have to be careful to make sure that you set in place all the necessary paperwork so it's a vendor relationship so that they have accountability to you and you know exactly what they're going to provide and what it's going to cost and what the limitations are and so forth.
Right. So, because folks, you're starting to see how this critical mass thing works. And Steve, I think now people are saying, hey, I know how that feels because every day I look around my business and I see another capability that I want to acquire. I see, and that's one of the reasons why I'm not getting any raises that, you know, you're telling yourself. The reason I'm not paying myself more money is because there's always somewhere to put the money. There's always some new capability that will allow me to serve my customers better and to grow my business and to be a little bit more efficient and et cetera, et cetera. And for a small business, there's never a day when you don't have those desires and those opportunities. But the question is, number one, do you have the capital to do that? Number two, is it the right move for you right now?
Exactly. And is the revenue stream, is the little market segment you're working on, going to have enough critical mass? In other words, is it large enough to justify in the near and long term the investment that you would have to make?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we come into the idea of using someone else's equipment or someone else's capability. If you find that you just can't justify spending $50,000 or $100,000 on a single piece of equipment that would be nice to have, but you may not use beyond a given set of work that you have coming up.
Well, or you might even decide that you can fund at least get funded the expansion opportunity is. But have you paid attention to whether you have the sales force that can go out and sell that and keep that equipment or whatever that capability is, keep it functioning, keep it productive?
Right, and is that
that's
the right
critical
thing
mass
to do?
The sales elements, for example, the accounting element, those are all critical mass issues, aren't they?
Absolutely, they are. But you've got to be careful to understand what your objective is. I've seen all too often people invest large amounts of money in a piece of equipment that is very specialized. They finish the work that they have in front of them, and then all of a sudden they realize that it's gathering dust in the corner and draining money from their pocket. So they start running out and getting business, but they become desperate, or maybe the situation has changed and they're bringing in marginal or unprofitable business just to keep a machine busy.
Right, absolutely.
And that is not wise.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, I've got a thought on another marketing thought to mention. That's maybe a little more universal than the equipment idea. We're going to talk about that and some more things with our good friend Steve Martin. We'll be right back. It's 10 Till. We're back at 7 Till. Lindsey Buckingham, ladies and gentlemen, on guitar and vocals, Fleetwood Mac. Steve Martin is with us. He's our good friend and longtime member of our Brain Trust, president of Business Solutions and author of Creative Approaches for Developing a Cost-Effective Organization. Steve, give us your website again, please.
Jim, it's www.profitpro.us.
And I hope you will, folks, I hope you will go there and check it out. It's a lot of free stuff there, and I think if you'll get his book and follow the instructions, I believe you'll find that it'll pay dividends on your bottom line. Steve, we're talking about critical mass. Here's an example of a really tiny small business critical mass issue. I've had people who want to do direct mail marketing. And, okay, you and I know that a pretty darn good everyday response to direct mail is 1%.
Yes.
A grand slam home run would be 4% response.
Yep, huge.
Okay, but so they'll come up with 2,000 names. But here's what you also know, Steve, is that an awful lot of direct mail activity requires people not only to take phone calls for when people call in to respond, but also to follow up with those people as much as possible. Well, if you don't have enough people to answer all the phone calls that are going to come in or to follow up with that in any given week, why send out 2,000 letters in 1 week?
Yeah, you might as well just throw your money in the trash.
And not only that, but it's worse because you may be confusing and disappointing some customers. So why not look at your critical mass? Look at how many people can actually answer the phone, can actually take care of the business if your piece hits. So instead of sending out 2,000 this week, send out 100 this week, 100 next week, 100 the week after that. Space it out. So that's, to me, that's a critical mass issue.
Absolutely, Jim. You've got to be able to deliver what you're promising. And as you point out, that if you're advertising a particular product or service, if you can't satisfy the potential customer when they call in, you not only don't get that sale, but you might lose a few others when they tell their friends, well, don't bother calling them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not taking care of me.
There's another critical mass issue, Steve, and that's management. That's to me, when I years and years ago, I was in the real estate development business and syndication business, and there was sort of a rule of thumb that you had a level, and I may have the numbers not exactly right now, because it was so long ago, nobody would remember this except me, but there was a rule of thumb that if you had 500 units, that took one level of management. If you had 1,500 units, that took another level of management. If you had the next level was 3,000 units. You had to have a whole other layer of management. And every business has that kind of a hierarchy of management, doesn't it?
That's correct. And you don't want to be top-heavy. You don't want to be light on your brain power either, because that can really cause you trouble.
Well, what happens is what if you continually find yourself operating at the 1,350-unit level? See what I mean? You're almost to the point where you need another layer of management, but you don't have the critical mass yet. And so if you're wondering why in your particular industry, if you're wondering why everybody is frayed and everybody's working, you know, working themselves to death, and maybe there's a little bit of crisis management going on, maybe you're bumping that next critical mass management level.
Excellent point, Jim. That's one of your symptoms, perhaps, that you need to make an investment on one side or both,
right,
of the equation.
Yeah, and maybe for you it's not 1,500. Maybe it is 1,350.
Absolutely.
And, of course, my examples are just metaphorical. You know, you need to look at your own industry. Steve, we've got about 1 minute left. What are some other things on critical mass that you can think of?
Jim, the real concept here is that you always have to be aware when you make decisions, particularly for investments or bringing in new customers or new business segments. Answer the question, am I large enough or can I be large enough, or how I can I be, quote, large enough, unquote, to satisfy this business segment and make a profit on it.
Mm-hmm. And where are the holes, and do I need to buy the holes, or can I rent the holes?
Or
filling of the holes.
Yeah.
Or borrow them? Yeah. That's a good one. Steve, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Always my pleasure, Jim.
Looking forward to getting you back on the show real soon. We got a lot more to talk about.
Sounds great.
Steve Martin, ladies and gentlemen, he's one of the best, as you know. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.